Did you like that song?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. I liked it. We sing it all week during our vacation Bible school, and we sing it at Awana sometimes. And so when I was preparing for the sermon, I just kept hearing that song playing out my mind again, you know, that we'll stand strong. And so I kept thinking about that. But I just want to ask you to pray with me once more before we get into the sermon. Lord, thank you again now for this time that we open up your word. And I just pray that you would open our minds and hearts to what you want to do and say. And that, Lord, you would move me out of the way and just have the power and freedom to do what you want to do with each person here. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're really getting through Hebrews now, really making our way through. We're finishing up chapter 10 today. And next week we'll be on chapter 11, which is one of the most famous chapters in all the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, called the Faith Hall of Fame by some people. And so we're finishing chapter 10 today. And today the title of the sermon is We Will Stand Strong. We'll stand strong. What are we going to stand strong in? We're going to stand strong in our faith, in our belief, in our continued walk with the Lord. All right, we've recently been seeing some things in Hebrews chapter 10. I just want to recap on a couple of the things that we've seen. One of them is that just shortly before what's said here, he said that we need to hold fast to our faith. And you see this phrase used again and again, hold fast. You know, don't let go. Don't give up. You got to have endurance. You got to keep walking with the Lord. It's not the kind of thing where you just try it for a little while and you say, oh, that didn't work. No, it's a lifetime of walking with God. And we need to hold fast to that, not give that up. And when other things come that challenge us and want to pull us away from it, we need to hold on tight to that. Hold fast, and we need to do it without wavering. Now, the reason it says that is because many times our temptation is to waver in our faith and our commitment. So one of the encouragement that he gave to this church, which was going through a lot, which was struggling in a lot of ways, hold fast your faith and do it without wavering. Now, another thing he said was this, and this was the sermon that I preached the day that it snowed. So if you weren't here the day that it snowed, you missed one of the most important sermons in Hebrews here, and probably one of the ones I was most excited to preach. But just kind of a very short version of that, it says that we need to keep meeting together as Christians. Don't give up on it. Don't give up on gathering together. Don't think, oh, it's enough for me to just watch somebody on television or listen to somebody on the internet or the radio. But that we as Christians need to gather together. We need this. I didn't make up church. Some guys didn't make up church. God came up with the idea that we need to gather together and strengthen one another. And we can't give up. And there are so many people that come along and they come up with this and that reason to not be going to a church regularly. And it's not good. It's something that isolates us, gets us alone. And when we're alone, that's when the devil can have his way with us. All right. So we need to keep meeting together, and when we meet together, whether it be in church or small groups or Bible studies and the things we do, one of the things that he encourages, he says, you need to consider how to stir each other up to love and good works. So in all of our gatherings, every time we get together, we need to be thinking, how can I help other people to love God and love others more, and how can I help them to live a life that's filled with good works and serving Him? So how can I do that? And that's the way as a church we should be thinking and some things that we should be doing. So you see, it's not just a social club. It's not just getting together and spending time together and enjoying one another. When we say Elk Plain Community Church, where personal relationships grow strong, we don't just mean that you have a lot of good friendships here, but first that your relationship with God is right and that your relationship with other people is based on that relationship with God. Okay, and then last week we talked about this thing called deliberate sin, which I shared was very much knowing the truth about Christ but rejecting it because you choose sin over Christ. You'd rather live a certain lifestyle that you know that the Bible doesn't agree with. You'd rather do certain things that you're not ready to give up. You say, hey, I'm not ready to give up the party scene right now. I know the truth, I get it, but I'm not ready. I want that. And in that case, very much like the prodigal son, you know, you're just going to run away from the truth and from your Father in heaven. But one thing I take away from that is we ought to take deliberate sin very seriously. Because that warns us that if we know the truth and we don't really accept it into our lives, we don't really receive Jesus as our Savior, that we're going to hell. That's what the Bible says. And so it's not enough to just know the truth, but we have to really live it. Now, keep in mind, it's impossible to grow up in church, to be in church all your life, and to not really receive the truth. You can know it. You can know all the facts. You can take the test. You can answer right. But it's not personal for you. And so every single time you hear this, it shouldn't be like something that hardens your heart, but it should say, hey, this is my opportunity right now to really take this personal for myself and receive Christ as my Savior. But it's not going to church. It's not being in church. It's not growing up in a particular family that makes you a Christian. It's really your relationship with Christ, whether you have it or not. All right, let's get into the Hebrews, continue on 32, verse 32. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Now remember, he had just said some really heavy stuff about, you know, that could sound very threatening to people, you know, if you haven't really received Christ, but you know all the truth, but you really haven't received Him, this is what's going to happen to you. He had given this warning, and how hard it is to really come to Christ if you reject Him in that way. Now he lightens up quite a bit, and he goes in a lot more positive tone in what he's saying. He says, now, you, that's not you. That's not who you are. Let's talk about who you are. Recall the former days. You know, look back in the past. Sometimes it's important to go ahead and look back. He says, recall the former days when after you were enlightened, and when you hear enlightened, you typically don't think that that just means that they came to knowledge, but enlightenment is when you are born again. So these people that he's talking to, he's saying, you know, after you became saved, remember those former days after you became saved, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. This isn't the first time that you've gone through like really hard times and really difficult circumstances. Remember, right after you got saved, when you were really young in the faith, you went through a great struggle, very difficult times. And then he's going to talk about a little bit about what those struggles were. He says, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction. And what that might look like, and what he's saying is, these people became Christians, and when they became Christians, other people pulled them out, made a spectacle of them, put them down in front of other people, afflicted them, hurt them, caused different types of pain to embarrass them, to humiliate them, to hurt them. And so their becoming a Christian was very challenging, had a lot of difficulty that went with it. And he's saying, remember, right after you became a Christian, remember those sufferings that you went through and that you made it through? He's reminding them about all the things that they went through that they could look back on and see that they made it through. And I would bet that there's things in your life that God has brought you through that you can look back on and you can say, yeah, remember how God brought me through that? I could take courage from that to go forward. He says, sometimes it was you that was afflicted and sometimes you weren't. And when you weren't, remember that, and sometimes you were being partners with those so treated. So it wasn't you that got mistreated, but that you were willing to partner as a believer with somebody else that was being mistreated because of the faith. You partnered with that other person and you were alongside them and you were going through it with them even though you didn't have to. And that was something he was reminding of. Remember how God was working in your life at that time and how he was using you and how it wasn't you that was going through it, but it was your close friend and you went alongside them and you helped them through that. And then he says something that I think really brings it home. Actually, no, that's to come. He says, there's one more thing. For you had compassion on those in prison. Again, here, I think those in prison are in prison because of their faith for Christ and believing in Christ. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. And this is the one that I was thinking particularly about. So you guys have some stuff, don't you? Is there anybody here that doesn't have any stuff? You got stuff, right? We got a lot of stuff in America. Whether, you know, we're richer than 95% of the people in the world. We have a lot of stuff here. So we've got our stuff. And he's saying that, remember when you first became a Christian and you went through this difficult time and this suffering, one of the things was that because you were a Christian, people came into your house and they took your stuff. They maybe vandalized your house and they took your property and your possessions and they took them away from you just to be mean. just to say, hey, because you're a Christian and we don't like this, we're going to take your stuff from you. I don't think you guys are making this real enough. I want you to think about it for a second. What's one of the favorite things that you have at your house? Your Xbox. Okay, very good. I like this kind of example. Someone at school found out you were Christian. They broke into your house. They took your Xbox. They threw it down. They shattered it into pieces and they put it on your front yard. And they spray painted Christian freak all over your house. What are some other things that you have that you like? You know, you guys got a big screen TV? I just got a new one recently. My wife thought it was fitting that we get one, and I thought I agreed. And we got one recently. And again, it's because it kind of all goes back to the kids, because they needed the other TV upstairs for the Xbox, and it's the whole system and all this, but it's like they break in and they take your big screen TV and they just smash it. They take your jewelry. And they're doing all this because you're a Christian. Because you became a Christian, they take your property from you. You like your car? They take it away. They say, and it's all right to do this because you're a Christian. And a lot of people don't like Christians, and it's okay to do this. Nobody's stopping them. All right, and this is the kind of thing he's saying. Remember when you went through that, when people actually just, because you were a Christian, they just plundered your property and they just took it? And you remember how you made it through that? And you can make it through this. Remember that? And now, most of us haven't had to suffer that kind of a thing, have we? Maybe on a smaller scale we have. We've lost relationships and we lost things for the faith. But most of us also can look and say, man, we've been given back so much more than we've ever lost. So he's encouraging me. He says, remember that. He says, you know, how could it be? How could you have made it through that when people took your stuff? And he answers that. He says, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession, an abiding one. You knew that you had better things to come. That God had better things in store for you, and that He had things in store for you that you could never lose. All right. Now, he goes on to encourage them some more. He says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have a need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised for. Yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous ones shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. He says, you need endurance in your faith. You need confidence in Christ. Jesus is coming back again. And when he's coming back again, he wants to find you living by faith. He wants to find you persevering in the faith, and he doesn't want you to shrink back. And then he goes on and he says, look, that's not us. We're not the ones who shrink back and are destroyed. He says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere their souls. All right, that's the passage for today. I want to just go through some points for this. But I want to tell you today, and I hope that you're listening very closely, that God is better. God is better. God is better than what? First thing that really stands out so clearly from this passage is God is better than your stuff. If you've got stuff that you love, the fact is, the truth is, that stuff is just temporary, it's not lasting, and it can be taken away from you. God is better than that stuff. God is better than any material possession or any material success that you can have. To have Him in your life and a relationship with Him and have His love and Him guiding and directing you, and to have eternal life and to have a future with Him that goes beyond your life on this earth, and to have the confidence in that, to be able to live in that, that's better than your stuff. That's better than anything that you can have. The coolest car that I could possibly drive is just dirt compared to having a relationship with God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get a witness? God's better than your stuff. Now, I'm going to take this up a level, and I think that the truth is, this should hit home with all of us. very deeply. And a lot of us might be here saying, I'm not a big stuff person. I'm not really about stuff. I don't have like a lot of stuff that I care so much about. I could lose it all. All right. But I want to say that God is better than anything you can lose. Anything that you can lose, God is better than. God is better than any relationship that you can have. Okay, your relationships, you may lose them. They may not be the same. They may change. You know, we face situations. We face loss all the time. And the fact is, it's something that I think we really need to live by. We really need to remember this fact that God is better. God is better than anything that we can lose. And some of you are facing loss right now. You're going through tough loss. And I think it's hard, and it's not making light of any of that, but you need to always remember and stand on this fact that God is better than anything that we can lose. And the things that we have are we can't always hold on to them as long as we want to. And we have to just trust God with them, and we have to just keep going to Him and not letting our faith be shaken when we go through loss and hard times, and just keep trusting Him. And it also, sometimes we have some great things to look forward to in the future of what God's going to do, how He's going to bring us into a whole new situation when we go to live with Him in heaven. Amen? We have to have that kind of faith, and that needs to be what's driving us as Christians, as people. But we're going to lose things. We're going to lose people. We're going to lose jobs. We're going to lose situations. But God is so much better than anything we can lose. Amen? Can we just call that good right now? Would that be a good point just to go home on? I think it's a strong one. If you remember that, that would be good, that God's better than anything you can lose. But I'm not going to stop here, because we went over other stuff, and we have to get to the other stuff too. Amen? All right, so how about your confidence? Your confidence in Christ. Your confidence in Christ is very valuable. Now, we all have confidence, and sometimes we're very confident people. We put a lot of confidence in ourselves. And there are cases where we need to be confident in the skills that God gives us and our ability to perform and what we do. We need to go do our jobs. We need to do it confidently, right? I'm talking about the ultimate confidence. Where is the ultimate confidence placed? Your ultimate confidence needs to be placed in Jesus Christ. You can go and do your job confidently and still recognize Jesus Christ and have your ultimate confidence in Him. And you live your life in a way that is based on your confidence in Christ and His promises and what He did for us on the cross. The life that's to come. You live with that confidence that His promises are true. Now, that confidence is very valuable if you have confidence in Christ. Now, if you have only confidence in yourself, that's of very limited value, isn't it? Because you're going to let yourself down. You're going to fail. But if your ultimate confidence is in Christ, He's not going to let you down. And so that's why that's very valuable. And also that gives you great strength. If you're a person, if you come here today and you're very confident in Christ and His promises, you're filled with faith, then you're going to stand very strong. Now, if you're here and you're kind of wavering and you're having difficulty, which we all are there sometimes. So this, I say these things not to pick on anybody, but if your confidence is low in Christ, then your endurance and your ability to walk with Him is being hindered. And so sometimes it talks about throwing away our confidence. He says that don't throw away your confidence. So there must be a choice sometimes that we make that we purposely move away from our confidence in Christ. Do you remember when you were younger in your faith, maybe, and you were so confident in Christ? Man, you would go stand in front of anybody and you'd do anything and you'd say anything. And then a little time has gone by. And there's been some circumstances and things that happened and things that have shaken you and your faith. And your confidence is shaken. And the thing is, I think it's saying sometimes we make conscious decisions where we're actually throwing our confidence away. We're definitely moving away from it. We need to be sure that we don't do that. Don't throw our confidence away, because we got to know that confidence in Christ is very valuable. It's really going to give us strength and really help us to remain confident in Him. Okay, so don't throw away your confidence in Christ. We see that. I've got the little verses here on the side that say, the parentheses that say where these are from. So 10:35. Don't throw away your confidence in Christ. Now, if you follow what's being said here, your confidence in Christ leads to endurance. Confidence in Christ leads to endurance, and it's just not endurance like, okay, if I have confidence in Christ, that means that I can have endurance for my run. And I can go out and I can run 5 miles and I'll get a lot of endurance. It's not that endurance. It's that you'll have endurance in your faith. The Bible calls us to not just spring up and just grow real quick and then shrivel away. You remember the parable where of the seed being sown? And that sometimes the seed lands and it catches and it grows really big for a second and then it just shrivels away. And that's not what God wants in our lives. He wants us to endure and to continue to grow. And that's what it means to really be a Christian. But this confidence in Christ naturally leads to endurance. And so there are going to be a lot of things that come and try to pull you away from walking with Christ. But if you have strong confidence in Him and your confidence is placed in the right place, not yourself, but in Christ, then you will have endurance. Do you want endurance? You want to endure in the faith? You want to walk? Yeah, I do. I hope you do. And that starts with your confidence in Christ. Having your confidence placed in the right person, not yourself, not somebody else, not some other man or woman, but in Christ. And then keeping that confidence in Him. All right. Endurance. I put here, this is my wording, endurance. This is evidence that you are truly saved. The seed that's sown, that springs up, and then withers away. Okay, that person's not really saved. That person got excited about something, got excited, had an emotional response, had something happen. Okay, maybe we're very close to being saved, but they withered away. They're not saved. If it talks in the Bible about them burning up and things like that. So we have to look at that, those kind of things where people sometimes might for a time look like they're saved, but not really be saved. What evidence is that we're truly saved is endurance in the faith. Keep walking with Him. Now, I'm not going to spell out exactly how this looks because many times we turn our backs on God and we know the truth fully and we go choose a lifestyle of sin and then we come back to Him and repent later. Maybe they were never saved until that point. Maybe they were saved, but their heart was really hard for a time and they came back and they repented. I don't think it spells it out exactly how it works, but the bottom line is that the Bible says it numerous times, you know, that if we're truly saved, if we're truly His children, then we'll persevere or we'll endure to the very end here. And this is the evidence that we're saved. So an enduring walk with Him, that's evidence. So how can you know? Why was I not concerned that Gladys Brooks was saved or not? I never had any question because I just saw somebody that through all the years just continued to walk with the Lord and had endurance in their life and their faith and had many reasons to walk away and many challenges, but just kept living for the Lord. All right. So that's endurance. And that's something that we really want. And remember, confidence in Christ leads to endurance. Now, Christians, if you're here today and you consider yourself to be a Christian, got some things for you here. And I put it like this. This is who we are and what we do. I like that. I like thinking of it like that. Saying it, thinking about it. This is who we are and what we do. And I think that's kind of how the passage was. He was saying, talking about all these things that could be true for people, but he gets down to the point, he says, this is not you. This is not you. And I could say it similarly to you. You know, those negative things, that's not you. Remember, if you're a Christian, that's not you. That's not who you are. You want to know who we are and what we do here at Elk Plain? We live by faith in Christ. And if you're a Christian, if I could so encourage you, this is who you are. This is what you do. You live your life by faith in Christ. That's big. It means you're not just looking at all the facts about what's happening. You're not just looking at the physical evidence. You're not just examining the world around you. But your life that you live is based on faith in Jesus Christ. You live by faith. Now you also believe in a God who made this earth and just spoke it into existence by His very word. That mountain, that little mountain over there, it's big to me, but it's little to Him. Nothing to Him. I mean, He just spoke this world into existence. We're not here by chance or by mistake. We serve a mighty big God. And we live our life by faith. We don't want to get distracted by all the negativity and all the things that are around us that would make us think in ways that pull us away from Him and that are not healthy. Rather, we're going to filter everything through our faith in God. So we live by faith in Christ. Now, here's another thing. We endure in that faith and we don't shrink back. This is who we are and what we do. We endure. We have endurance. We don't shrink back. Don't turn your back on God. Don't leave the faith. Don't check out of church. Don't get out of Bible studies. Let's say that you're in a Bible study. You're in a small group. And it's just going great. And then one day, somebody says something that just really hurts your feelings. And maybe it was just mean. And maybe, you know, you start thinking, I don't like this Bible study very much. Has this ever happened? Here at Elk Plain? Well, you might be thinking, no, that's never happened to me. I'm positive it's happened here at Elk Plain. And I'm positive it happens in just about every Bible study. And I'm positive that anytime you have people involved and you have relationships, you have people that rub each other the wrong way, and you have people that really get along with some people and really have trouble getting along with other people. And that's just the nature. There's conflict. Like in the church, there's always going to be conflict. The only time you can have no conflict is if there's only one person in the church. I mean, I told you guys about that guy on the deserted island, didn't I? When they found him, there were three buildings on the deserted island. And they said, hey, what are those three buildings? And he said, well, the first one is my house. That's where I live. And he's the only guy on the island. And the second one is my church. And they said, what's the third one? He said, well, that's my other church. I left that church. Okay? Now, there's just plenty of conflict in church because it involves people. And if we've never had any conflict in church, it's probably because we just come as a spectator and we just check in and check out. We go do our own thing. If we really start getting involved in people's lives, we're going to see that, hey, not everybody thinks about things the way I think about them. And we talked about this a little in Sunday school. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Do you think that maybe you need to hear the way that other people think about things sometimes? Is it healthy for you to just be an island unto yourself and to never hear about it? Well, no, it's not. Okay? So, the thing is, we need to endure through those kind of things. That there's going to be plenty of conflict. What we should do, we should accept right now. Let's all just accept that in church there's conflict. It's inevitable. It happens. And let's also commit to working through conflict, to working through it, and to coming through the other side of it stronger and healthier and more close to God and more close to each other. Amen? Amen. Now you could say amen, but now you've got to actually really go and do that, and you've got to really believe that, and you've got to really put that into practice. And that's not simple, not trivial, but it starts with your commitment, it starts with your endurance, it starts with faith, it starts with basing your whole life, just, hey, I'm an open book on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for me and how I live. But I'm going to endure. Are we going to endure? Is this who we are? Is this what we do?
Yes.
Amen. All right, now, a little personal application. I think the preschool or the children's church is going to be surprised when we finish up pretty early here today. What's the trajectory of your relationship with God? That's a hard word to say. And there's a reason I ask this. It's not really my place to stand here and say, oh yeah, this person's saved or that person's saved. You know, all that we do is we look and we see, well, what kind of fruit is being produced in somebody's life? And we really can see evidence of God working in their life. Or we can see evidence of, like we talked about last week, of people really rejecting God. We see that evidence, okay? But it's a good question for yourself to say, trajectory, what's trajectory? It's like if I shoot a bullet, it's moving in a certain direction. It has movement. It's going a direction. It's going somewhere. It's not just sitting still. Now, it's not going backwards. Now, the question is, you know, what is the trajectory of your relationship with God? Is it moving forward? Is it going the right direction? Now, here's a couple things. Like, are you growing in the Lord? I mean, you should really ask yourself, am I growing right now? If I look at myself the last year, have I grown in the faith? That's great. That's good to hear. So hopefully we're all saying that. That's the response that we see that we're growing. And sometimes We go and we grow because of things we never would ask for or we never would hope for. He brings things into our lives and he allows us to grow. But that's the question we should ask. Am I growing? Am I really growing in the Lord? Or is it more like I'm like looking back and saying, remember when I first came to God, how excited I was about Him, how much I loved Him. And now I don't love Him the way I used to. At least, you know, if you really looked at the evidence in my life, He's not my passion like He used to be. And so we got to really watch out for that. So you need to ask yourself, are you growing in the Lord? Being a Christian is constantly growing, constantly moving towards God. It's not sitting still. And then I put this next one like this. Are you shrinking back or are you standing still when you should be standing strong? Are you shrinking back? I mean, are you not really the disciple that you used to be? Are you not as confident in Christ as you used to be? And I think the call here is to move forward, to not let yourself just stand still and to not let yourself move backwards, but to move forward with Christ. And as we look at it, like really, truly being saved, God does that in our lives. Now, I think there are periods of time where we stand still, we move backwards, we have some false starts, we have things that we do. But that overall, when we look at like where our life is going over a long period of time, if we really have God's Holy Spirit living in our lives, He is moving us forward. That's the trajectory of our lives. All right, let's pray. We'll be done here. We'll have the worship team come and then Sam, could you go back and get the children's church? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for today. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for this encouragement. We pray today that we could be the people that stand strong and move ahead and grow in You, and that we're not more in love with our stuff or any other thing that we can lose here than we are with You. Thank You, though, for the good blessings that You give us. Thank You for the relationships that we have. Thank You for church. We know it's just a blessing. We ask You to help us to be committed to enduring in it and to be enduring in our walk with You and to just accept whatever it is that You want to do in our lives, Lord, that to make us closer to You and to make us more the people You want to do, that we would just be open and responsive to it. And that we really just focus on You and Your truth. And Lord, I pray today that if there's anybody here that doesn't really know You as a Savior, that they can know that today's just a day that they can say, yeah, I want that in my life. I believe in You. I accept You. I realize that I've sinned and that I need a Savior and that I know that the only Savior is You, Jesus. And that's a free gift right there through Your love that's offered. And if there's anyone here also today, Lord, that when they look at the trajectory of their life, they don't see the growth. Lord, I pray today that You would just bring new life there and new strength and new vigor and new passion for You. If there's anyone here who isn't passionate about Your word or praying to You, and we all struggle with that sometimes, I pray today that You would fill us with that passion. You would change the way we think, change our minds. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.